Good Mountain. "There'll be trouble over it," said Saccharissa.
"Yes, but how much trouble are we in already?" said William. "On a scale of 1 to 10?
"At the moment, about 8, said Saccharissa. "But when the next edition is on the streets..." She shut her eyes a moment, and her lips moved in calculation. "About 2,317?
"Then we'll put it in," said William.
Good Mountain turned to his workers.
"Leave the axes where you can see 'em, boys," he said.
"Look, I don't want anyone else to get into trouble," said William. "I'll even set the rest of type myself, and I can run some copies off on the press."
"Needs 3 to operate, and you won't get much speed," said Good Mountain.
He saw William's expression, grinned, and slapped him as high up the back as a dwarf could manage.
"Don't worry, lad, we want to protect our investment."
"And I'm not leaving," said Saccharissa. "I need that dollar."
$2,
said William absently. "It's time for a rise. What about you, Ott? Oh, can someone sweep up Otto, please?" A few minutes later, the restored vampire pulled himself upright against his tripod and lifted out a copper plate with trembling fingers.
"What is happening next, please?"
"Are you staying with us? It could be dangerous," said William, realizing that he was saying this to a vampire iconographer who undyed every time he took a picture.
"What kind of danger?" said Otto, tilting the plate this way and that in order to examine it better.
"Well, legal to start off with."
"Has anyone mentioned garlic so far?"
"No."
"Can I have $180 for the Akina TR-10 dual imp iconograph with a telescopic seat and big shiny lever?"
Not yet."
"Okay,"
said Otto philosophically.
"Then I shall require $5 for repairs and improvements. I can see this is a different kind of job."
All right then." William looked around the press room. Everyone was silent and everyone was watching him. A few days ago, he'd have expected today to be, well, dull. It usually was, just after he'd sent out his newsletter. He generally spent the time wandering around the city or reading in his tiny office while waiting for the next client with a letter to be written or sometimes read out. Often both kinds were difficult. People prepared to trust a postal system that largely depended on handing an envelope to some trustworthy-looking person who was heading in the right direction generally had something important to say. But the point was that they weren't his difficulties. It wasn't him making a last-minute plea to the patrician, or hearing the terrible news about the collapse of Shaft 3, although of course he did his best to make things easier for the customer. It had worked very well. If stress were food, he'd succeeded in turning his life into porridge. The press waited. It looked now like a great big beast. Soon he'd throw a lot of words into it, and in a few hours it would be hungry again, as if those words had never happened. You could feed it, but you could never fill it up. He shuddered. What had he got them all into? But he felt on fire. There was a truth somewhere, and he hadn't found it yet. He was going to, because he knew that once this edition hit the streets,
Bagrit!
Whack! He glanced at the crowd coming in. Of course, the truth hid in some unlikely places and had some strange handmaidens.
"Let's go to press," he said.
It was an hour later. The sellers were already coming back for more. The rumbling of the press made the tin roof shake. The piles of copper mounting up in front of Good Mountain leapt into the air at every thump. William examined his reflection in a piece of polished brass. Somehow he'd got ink all over himself. He did the best he could with his handkerchief. He'd sent altogether Andrews to sell the papers near Pseudopolis Yard, reckoning him to be the most consistently sane of the fraternity. At least 5 of his personalities could hold a coherent conversation. By now, surely the watch would have had time to read the story, even if they'd had to send out for help with the longer words. He was aware of someone staring at him. He turned and saw Saccharissa's head bent down over her work again. Someone sniggered behind him. There was no one there who was paying him any attention. There was a 3-way argument over a matter of 6 going on between Good Mountain, Foul Old Ron, and Foul Old Ron, Ron being capable of keeping a pretty good row going all by himself. The dwarfs were hard at work around the press. Otto had retired to his dark room, where he was once again mysteriously also hard at work. Only Ron's dog was watching William. He considered that it had, for a dog, a very offensive and knowing look. A couple of months ago, someone had tried to hand William the old story about there being a dog in the city that could talk. It was the 3rd time this year. William had explained that this was an